Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Broadway Breakdown. I am one of your thousands of hosts, John Wiscavige.
And I am half of one of your thousands of hosts, Matt Koplik.
And today we have a very special guest star with us. I'm so excited today to be sitting next to one of the most talented, gorgeous... if sloths lived among us in this world, like just the cutest, kindest, sleepiest little friends...
Sloth. I thought you were saying salad, but so weird. The first salad lived among us. Like, what?
Well, I've already really made this introduction so awkward. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us today is Broadway's and my heart's own very Caitlin Kinnunen.
Hello.
Hi, Caitlin.
I feel like the definition of me as an awkward sloth is really accurate, though.
I agree. In the best way.
I slept till 12:30 today.
Must be nice. That's how Broadway does, apparently.
That's how unemployed rolls.
Oh, wow.
But Caitlin.
Yes.
You haven't been unemployed your whole life,
have you? God.
I looked up some of Caitlin's credits.
So we're going to be her personal resume for a second.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Thank you, Broadway world.
Oh, no.
I never thought I'd say that sentence in my life, but here we go. Caitlin, as according to my research, made her Broadway debut as a replacement in the original Broadway production of Spring Awakening.
Correct.
And what a gay org she was.
She was such a gay org.
Oh, no.
Sans the Michael Arden hands. That was the production sans the hands.
Yes.
She then went on to be in the National Tour of Next to Normal.
Correct, again.
Broadway
world is nailing it.
They are so nailing it. Understudying Natalie.
Yes.
Natalie.
That's how you pronounce it.
Natalie,
yeah,
yes. In the French version of Next to Normal, Natalie. Then... Was Bridges before or after prom?
Before.
Okay. Then was in the Williamstown Theater Festival's production of The Bridges of Madison County, followed by the Broadway production of The Bridges of Madison County, followed by the prom at the Alliance.
Yes.
And many YouTube videos. And that is Caitlin's resume up till
now
that
I've
seen.
You've also done regionally the Pregnancy Pact musical.
Yes.
Shut up!
Which...
They made that a musical?
Yes.
And so that's
amazing.
Why I want to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
It
no, no, guys. Yeah. Pin in that. I've got questions.
So I'm literally just sitting next to,
royalty.
I'm sitting next to Broadway royalty. I mean, honestly. And when I say sitting next to, I really mean it. So this guy right here, I'm pointing to myself, made a huge snafu and was like, even though I know nothing of technology, can figure out how to record with two microphones for my one computer. Lies. Liza Minnelli. All wrong. And so I was like, Caitlin, hey, do you want to really, like, cuddle up for a sec? So Caitlin
and
I are currently spooning. She is an amazing big spoon to add to her list.
You know, I am really a great big spoon.
I prefer
being a little spoon, but sometimes you gotta give.
She's,
On that note... How do you transition to this one? I don't know.
I mean,
so let's go from Donald Trump to the obvious transition. What was it like making your Broadway debut as a teenager in Spring Awakening? Talk a little bit about that, because you are not based out of New York.
No.
I always find that this very interesting. So kind of give us the dealio.
Yeah, how did Spring Awakening come about first, and then, yeah.
Well, let's take a trip back in time to 15-year-old Caitlin. If you think I'm awkward now, just wait.
I can only imagine.
Oh god, it was really bad. So I was 15. I was doing a production of High School Musical at Seattle Children's Theater, which is where I lived. I lived outside of Seattle when I was 15. Really all my life until I moved. Great story. Anyway, I was 15. I went to an open call for the national tour of Spring Awakening. I ended up getting 2 callbacks here in New York. And so my mom and I flew across the country and went to those callbacks. I had one of my final callbacks for the show on my 16th birthday.
Oh, don't you love that?
Dreams. Just awkward, really nervous dreams. And then right after that, they called and they were like, hey, we really want you to be in the show. Right now, the girl who is playing your part isn't planning on leaving anytime soon. So just hold out tight and we'll let you know. And so I stayed in Seattle for 6 months. And then I got a call saying, hey, she's leaving. Can you be here in 2 weeks? And so my mom and I left Seattle and moved to New York, and
that's a whirlwind right there.
It is a whirlwind.
So you played Taya.
I played Taya.
Remind me which one Taya is, because those like 4 little.
They're all the same.
They're the teenage pig little talk
Phoebe?
Little.
No, it was Remy Zakin.
It was Remy. That was it.
Yes, love her to death. Yeah.
So she's the Remy Zakin role.
So she is the Remy Zakin role. She's the one with glasses and braids, except I didn't have braids because my hair wasn't long enough. It's fine. But yeah, she's the one who kind of, she has the biggest crush on Melchior that is very loudly voiced. And
he's such a radical.
He's such a radical, yes. But yeah, so I went into the show and I did that for the last 6 months of the run. And then we closed in January of 2009.
That sounds about right. My Rain Man brain would probably be like,
So yeah, so I did the last 6 months of that run and it was an interesting learning curve, life experience. And I wouldn't change it for the world.
2 questions.
Yes.
Any fun, Guilty One stories of like fans at stage door. And then also, could you talk a little bit about coming into a show that's already like up and running and out and about?
Yes.
And third, please answer this last. How much energy did it take? We'll get to that. But how much energy did it take to play that role?
Okay.
But yeah.
Rude.
Yeah.
So what you don't know is that John and I have known each other for too long. And so he knows.
I don't feel like I'm on the outside of these inside jokes at all.
No,
I'm out in the fucking rain here, knocking on the window.
I want to close the Spring Awakening chapter
with that.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Let's start with coming to the show. Talk about,
The Guilty Ones was an interesting experience because coming from Seattle.
So that's what the fans are called?
Yeah. Yes, they were called The Guilty Ones. Oh. And there was a website. It was like a fan forum called The Guilty Ones. And
I know
they
people who were on that forum. I'm not going to name those names.
Don't name those names.
Because they're fully formed people now. And
great.
I don't want to shame their like teenage years.
Oh my god.
Yeah, these fans were very vocal. The first experience I had with them is like when I went into the show, there was a group of us who were going in at the same time. There were, I believe, 6 of us going in at the same time. And so they announced all 6 of us were going in, and the fan forums went crazy. And I remember I was at my going away party that one of my best friends held in Seattle, and they like looked it up online. And the quote that has always stuck with us, homeschooled from an island, this'll be interesting. P.S. I was homeschooled.
Caitlin was homeschooled.
But yeah, so that was
is
like
Seattle
my first,
an island?
I'm from Kameno Island, technically. I say Seattle because here on the West Coast, I mean, here on the East Coast, when you say we're from Washington, they think D.C.
Yeah.
And so I've learned to say, I'm from Seattle. And then when people like delve into it, then I'm like, actually, I'm not.
For a second, I was like, am I that terrible at geography that I didn't know
not.
That? Sorry. So
I just make it complicated.
I like the island Seattle. I know you do.
drink on the Starbucks and smoke it. So, so yes, they were they were in a tizzy.
I don't know if I've ever heard that.
Wait, really?
Homeschooled from an island. This'll be interesting. I'm gonna get that on a t-shirt.
So, like, if anyone out there is listening, whoever wrote that comment, God bless you.
So, fans were not pleased. Did you eventually win over the fans, though?
Did you have to be like, get your little cake? I don't think I ever did, but that's fine.
Screw them.
You know,
you'd be surprised.
People are allowed to have their opinions.
No, they're not.
Well, no, like, I mean, listen, you'll never find two more opinionated bitches than me and John. Like,
I don't know you very well.
But like, in the last 10 minutes.
I'm kind.
And also, like, yeah, I feel like,
because that's.
John, you've used two words to describe yourself very loosely. One is guy and the other is kind.
You people. Listen.
Take that sweater off, bitch.
I'm warm because I am so close to this one. The body heat.
The tea that's being served is heating me up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I going back to this thing, I don't know. I was 16 and I didn't pay attention to any of that, really. And so I don't know. Who knows? Maybe someone loved me. Maybe a lot of people hated me. I don't.
But you know or care. You like did it. But I love that. Just like,
yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. But I heard the word energy used for Taya.
So if you want to, a wonderful thing that YouTube provides is they did this amazing series when they were introducing the six new cast members.
Spring Awakening 2.0. Class 2.0.
Yeah, like meet the class. Mm-hmm. And you can watch a 16-year-old Caitlin give an interview.
The worst interview
no,
ever
it's
done.
Not.
See, you're like awing like it's going to be cute. It's not.
No, it's really cute. And so just basically her answer for every question is, they were like, so Caitlin, like, what's it like what's it like playing Taya? And she's like, Taya has the most energy out of all. And then we're like, so Caitlin, what's it like being on Broadway? It takes a lot of energy. Like, literally every...
I think we did the math at some point, and I said energy within, like, the first 20 seconds of this interview.
Mm-hmm. But then it happens so many other... It's quite amazing.
It's too much.
I mean, it's too much. And it's, of course, one of those things, too, where, like, you're 16. Of
also,
course,
I look like a chipmunk. My cheeks have never been rounder.
You're a little baby. You're
and
a little
I also,
baby.
I went through this phase when I was that age where I thought it was really cool to wear, like, t-shirts under tank tops.
You were doing that.
Like, under
You definitely
everything.
Were doing that.
So I full on wearing, like, a white scoop neck t-shirt with, like, a tank top over it. It's a horrible look.
But, like, in your defense, you weren't alone there. That was, that's...
I was.
Yeah,
I could have sworn I had seen many a girl do that, well, but usually also like with a mini skirt, so it's like nerdy and slutty at the same time.
No, mine
same.
Was always just pure nerd. Mm-hmm.
Pure nerd.
Well, and so
it's all on Facebook.
So then, how long was it after Spring Awakening that you stayed in the city with your mom?
Yes.
By the way, side note, let us take a moment to. You can already guess from her first story, but Caitlin's mother is one of the most amazing women in the world.
An angel.
She is an
really
angel.
My entire family is
yes.
just a bunch of angels. Because
I would agree.
When their youngest daughter was 16 years old, they said, "You know what's a great idea? Moving half of the family across the country for God knows how mm-hmm. long." You know?
Yeah,
and
sounds
they did it.
Really
and
stable.
But, like, that also sounds like a wonderful Lifetime movie, speaking of which.
Yes.
You're just trying to get into pregnancy facts, aren't you?
I'm trying really hard.
I'm trying to go chronologically.
Fine. Oh, my God. No.
So how long after Spring Awakening was it before the Next to Normal tour?
Like a year and a half, 2 years in there somewhere.
And you stayed here? Did you go?
I stayed in Seattle. Wow, I'm doing great. I stayed in New York because at that point I was 17 years old and had my equity card. And if I had gone back to Seattle, I would not have been able to work because
sure.
they can hire minors without their equity card for
$0
a week. And they would have to pay me equity minimum. So I stayed in New York because my family was supportive and like, yeah, let's do it. Stayed in New York, did a bunch of readings, and I got a few like TV gigs and small independent movies.
Her episode of Law and Order SVU is one of my faves.
It's called Turmoil. I say yes with my lips pierced very tightly together.
You also sold a girl out for an iPod, right? Isn't that it?
I was recently redoing my reel, and I was like putting that scene into it, and I was like, oh my god, this dates me so much because I sold my friend out to a rapist for clothes and an iPod.
Oh, back when like having an iPod was like super important.
Back when like having an iPod was.
Not even an iPod Touch, you guys. We're talking like an iPod. So,
embarrassing.
So yes, you can also catch her on many different television shows and movies. where she plays a slew of characters.
A slew of characters. But yeah, so I was hanging out, and then I booked the Next to Normal tour and left, pieced out of the city for 9 months.
Not a bad way to do. Tell me about tour life. What was that like for you?
Because that was your first...
Yes.
And your only time, really, so far, yeah. Okay.
Yes. Tour life is not for me. I don't do well with change.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, living in a different city every month was horrible for me. Like, sure. I had a great time, and I actually loved being able to see so many parts of the country that I never would have gone to.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got home, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm good. I don't need to, like, do that again right now. You know, it was also a long time. 9 months is a long time when you're like 18, 19.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and then because tour ended and you came back, the most pivotal moment of your life happened, which was you agreed to do a reading of a little musical called Trouble, a new rock musical, which is where...
I mean, she met
cue in like through the eyes of love, like the theme from Ice, the theme from Ice Castle. This is where we met.
Yeah, but you were in the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were in the second one.
I was in.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was in. Technically, I think. You did a reading way before I joined the project. Then we did a reading, and then we did another reading, which is when.
Yes.
Let's just say the show had some really awesome music in it.
The music was great. I always really loved the music.
Yeah. It was a British pop singer-songwriter named Ella Grace.
She's the best.
And the idea behind this musical was they wanted it to kind of be like Skins the musical.
Yeah.
And so it had some... what's the best way to put this? I feel like every... time a reading happened, it just got more diluted.
Yeah.
And like further away from being true.
Yeah, it never quite found its footing.
Yeah. But on the bright side, literally, we met and
we're closest, dearest friends through that process.
Yeah, our friend Mike Longo, who is on the Aladdin tour right now. Like the three.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Mike. You're probably not listening, but hey, Daddy. but like literally, like the three of us just like bonded after that.
Yeah.
So guys, agree to do shitty readings because you'll never know the kind of amazing friends you can make.
Or like. Sometimes you'll just have a really terrible time and nothing good will come from it, but you know.
But then there's
death, and so like,
yeah.
Just take comfort in that.
Billy, I beg to differ with you.
How do you mean?
You're the top.
Yeah.
You're an arrow collar. You're the top. You're a Coolidge dollar.
So, as much as I want, we can always circle back to Pregnancy Pact. I know that
we'll get to it. I know we'll get to it. But let's get into Bridges.
Let's talk about Bridges, because I mean, it's not every day that... you get to originate a role in a Jason Robert Brown
musicale with a libretto by Miss Marcia Norman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not even Daisy Egan can say that. She only has a Marcia Norman libretto to her name, not a Jason Robert Brown score.
It's true.
Sorry, that's me being weird.
It's okay. I understood that reference.
Thank you. I feel heard. So how did Bridges come about for you?
Bridges came about in a really boring... actor with an agent way, where I got an appointment for it. I went in, I got a call back, I booked it, and
love
I went
that story.
On to
it's inspirational.
Do the, I know it's really groundbreaking.
Gives all of us hope.
Right? It's these kind of struggles.
Tell more detail. But yeah, then I got the out-of-town production, and then I found out I also got the Broadway production, and it was great. What was really fun about that experience was that when I had my first audition, I was battling mono.
Oh my god.
And I had just had tonsillitis. And so I like went into that audition not knowing what was going to come out of my mouth because I hadn't spoken in like a week, and was like, oh shit. But yeah, I've learned that like when I'm sick, I book things.
What was it? This one too that they also definitely asked you to vocalize as a soprano, and I know you've had a few that have had this because that is another one of our favorite things.
It's gotten better though. Don't worry.
but I feel like I remember something about this process where you're like, I feel like I remember they were like doing something with the range for the role, and you were like, I had to sing. They asked for my soprano notes.
I don't remember that, but. Sure.
I could be making it up. It could happen in a
game. They were like, listen, you will be Kelly O'Hara's daughter. We don't quite know if she's going to also like have soprano.
It could have been that, but I've blocked it out with so many other memories of like, I had tonsillitis. Also, like, this is so stupid. When I left my first audition, my mom was in town, and because I had mono, so she was like helping me live. And we were like sitting at this like cafe across the street from Telsey, and I was like, oh, my side hurts so badly, like it's throbbing. And then I went to the walk-in clinic and got it checked out, and they were like, yeah, your spleen is like crazy enlarged. Don't go outside because if someone bumps you, it's gonna rupture. So, like, that's the state that I was auditioning for Bridges of Madison County in. And somehow, they thought, this girl is
the
perfect.
Stakes were so... Well, because the stakes were so high, really. And they could tell that from you. They could tell you.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What was the out-of-town process like for Bridges? I'm going to keep us on this fucking track if it kills me. If it fucking kills me.
The out-of-town was amazing. It was so cool because it was the first time, like, I really got to originate a role. Mm. And with such an incredible team of people. Mm. Like, every single person on that team and in that cast wanted to be there. And everyone was so nice. And we had this weird rehearsal schedule where, because we were doing it out of town at Williamstown Theater Festival, they let us rehearse the entire time. So we were rehearsing and doing shows up until our last weekend of performances. So it was like a extended preview process, essentially. So we had 2 weeks of rehearsal in New York City. We had like a week and a half, 2 weeks in up at Williamstown. And then we opened, but we would still rehearse and change the show every single day. And it was incredible. They got so much great work done, and Williamstown is the most magical place.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of the best summers of my life, and it will never be able to, like, be recreated.
I got it ringing in my ears, and my hands keep shaking. I ate 7 corn dogs, and I think I might die. 5 more hours till the final judgment. I can hold it all together, and I will not cry.
Okay, so originated a role in a Jason River Brown musical, which also brings us to originating another role.
Well, no, we're not getting done with Bridges, bitch.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
We discussed that for three. We didn't even leave Williamstown yet. We didn't get to Kelly.
Oh, that's true. Kelly. Oh, right. Well, because Kelly didn't do.
Yes,
no.
Kelly was.
Shadow did the Williamstown production.
I saw her. I saw her at Williamstown. You also had a different brother at Williamstown.
Yes, I did. I had a different family in Williamstown.
Yes. Oh, wait. Also, wait, you know, your father in Williamstown was the one and only Daniel Jenkins, who, fun fact, is the original Big Josh in Big the Musical, which is a musical near and dear to my heart.
He's the best human being.
Oh, my God.
And that was the thing. Like, everyone in that company is the best human beings. Like, you can name any name in that company, and I will have that reaction of just like, oh, the best.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. It's like sunshiny and love.
Love it.
With infidelity.
Yeah, it's
not in my part.
That's what you think. That's not what I got.
Oh.
You and those hot dogs. Or corn dogs.
Corn dogs. She was a slut for them corn dogs.
Yeah, I was.
Same. Always.
So, how long was it before you guys started up in New York again?
It was very fast. It was, what was it? We closed the show in, I think,
August, and then you started rehearsals in January. Do not ask me how I remember.
Oh, December. Start in January. We started in December.
I'm sorry.
But like very close. Yeah, we closed in August, started in December.
Like a nice 3 month period, and then pick it back up again. Yeah, that's pretty. Break. Yeah, that's pretty typical. I feel like.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know what you guys are talking about, but not that I have experience in out of town tryouts and like going straight to Broadway myself, but like. Through the friends that I have who get my fancy friends who get to do that, they're all like, oh, I'm so blessed with these like
that's like 2.5 months off. That's like the best case scenario. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. It's really wonderful when that happens.
Mm-hmm. But so you guys start up again.
Yeah.
And you guys, you get a whole new family.
Whole new family.
On Broadway. So how did you reconnect with these people? Or had you already worked with Kelly on it before?
I had not worked with any of them before. Mm-hmm. I'd like to credit my awkward charm for really bringing people in. Mm. If you talk to Derek Klena to this day, he'll be like, God, Caitlin's such a fucking weirdo. but yeah, I don't know. It was easy. It's again, all of the people involved were so amazing that you just kind of automatically loved every single one of them. It sounds so cheesy and stupid. No. Like, I had the best time. Everyone was kind, but it's true.
Sometimes you get really lucky with that, and you hold on to those for when that doesn't.
I mean, it sucks for me because again, I want some tea poured on this, but if there's no tea to be had, then I'll just move on to the next one.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no tea.
God damn it. Fuck, what was I gonna say? Oh, speaking of Kelly, we were talking earlier how if you weren't gonna be here, we were gonna talk about Kelly being announced for the Kiss Me Kate revival.
Yes.
And I have something. My name is Jasmine Masters, and I've got something to say.
Oh.
You don't watch Drag
Race. But I knew it was a reference.
Okay.
There you go. So like something that I've always loved about Kelly O'Hara's career, basically since Light in the Piazza onwards, is literally. It happens with every show she's ever announced for. Everyone goes, can she do it, though? And then she does.
Yes, no, she and can. Then, she's and then, our Obama.
Well, a show, and then she does it and, like, tells all the haters to suck it. And everyone's like, oh, fantastic. And then the next show happens and everyone's like, can she do it? And you would think after, like, 9 times of all these different roles, you'd finally stop saying it.
Tony Award, so many nominations.
Well, because, like, because when she went into Pajama Game, everyone's like, can she do it? Because we all thought of her as, like, little pretty soprano, but she could belt. And she was great.
And then she's amazing.
She is amazing. And then Bridges, everybody was like, Kelly is an Italian. And she pulled it off. And then King and I saw everybody's like, can she do it? And Kiss Me Kate, again, people are now like, but can she do the broad comedy? Can she really become a diva? I'm like,
throwing some shade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it needs to stop.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We talked about this with Natalie Walker too. She and Sutton Foster are two actresses who, like, every time they're announced for something, everyone always goes, but can they do it? And then they do it brilliantly.
But, like,
and
I'm gonna
they forget.
Get on my like feminist step stool.
Please,
here.
Please do. Please do.
You can say that about every woman in any career position. Because no one is going to say that about a man. No one is going to, like, see that they've been cast in something and say, can they do that? No, they're just like, great, they're doing that show. Anytime a woman gets cast in any role, there will be those people saying, can she do it?
Mm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, wasn't Bridges Stephen Pasquale's Broadway debut?
As a musical
lead. As a musical lead.
Yeah,
and no one did that for him.
No one was like, can he?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, the only place where I see that happening with men is, like, when they're TV or movie stars and they're coming into a musical. And then even, it's not just, like, the average Joe who's saying that. It's, like, Broadway professionals who are like, can they? But still, on a greater front, whenever a woman gets a role, it's questioned.
Yeah.
The only other time I can imagine I hear with a man is when they're, When gay men get cast a lot in straight roles, you're like, can they pull it off?
Yes.
I mean, it's like, oh, honey, if anyone's going to pull it off.
Pull it out. But, yeah, there we are. Yeah, but, you know, you're absolutely right. It's. I mean, I can maybe count on one hand the number of women in this industry where that doesn't come up. But everyone else, it's always like, can they do it? But it just makes me mad.
It also makes me mad on another level because we're actors. It's what we do.
Right.
Our job is to be able to play different characters. And so often you get typecast and you get put in this little box that is, they can only do this. I remember when I was auditioning for Next to Normal, like, I couldn't get seen for it for a really long time. And I was like, no, I can do this. Let me audition. And I finally got an audition and I ended up booking it. But it's like, people so easily say, oh, they can't do that. It's like, no, we... do this for a living.
Yeah. Right.
Give me the chance to show you I can play different characters.
Absolutely. I love those stories, though, where, like, you have to push and then you make it. Like, same thing, yeah. Rebecca Luker, Music Man. It's one of my favorite stories.
Yeah.
Could not get an appointment to save her life. Tony nominee at that time, Rebecca Luker, yes. could not get an appointment for Music Man. And she finally wormed her way in and got the role and yeah. a Tony nomination to boot for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Absolutely
People
crazy.
Are weird.
Yeah, it's so easy in this. Well, not easy, but it's become such the norm in this business to, like, we've lost the creativity and the creativity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, there's no thinking outside the box. Like, it's like, well, as we're creating, quote unquote, this process, it's like, if I use this mathematical equation, this person does this and this person does yeah. this and that equals that. Nari.
It's crazy too, because even when we're doing creative casting decisions, like when, so I was saying this before, when Lauren Ambrose got announced for My Fair Lady,
I'm so excited for that.
Me fucking too. I'm obsessed with her. That too, though, like super creative casting, and everyone was like, but can she do it? I'm like, Bartlett Shear would not have cast her.
He would not cast her if she couldn't.
Ted Sperling would not have let her sing I Could Have Danced All Night on a Broadway stage if she couldn't hit the fucking...
Also, right. I'm sorry. She's going to act the shit out of it.
Because she's a fucking amazing actress. Oh my God. I'm obsessed with her.
Yes.
But when we do creative casting like that, people then are like, but I really wanted this safe choice. It's like, you can't
fuck
have...
Fuck safety.
Right? Right?
In this sense.
I will... Disclaimer. If you are unsafe... No seatbelts, no helmets.
Share
That's
needles.
The Caitlin way. Share the needles.
Don't share needles. It's a horrible idea. I'm saying fuck safety in the sense of cast outside
yeah.
your comfort zone.
Okay. Creativity. Okay. I guess I understand that.
Sure, 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 sure.
You're going to have a lot of lawsuits after this episode.
Oh, please. I already have
like,
so
I
many.
I didn't wear my seatbelt and I went...
We have John on record saying that they should do a production of Carousel where every audience member just gets hit by Billy Bigelow.
No!
And like an immersive production where you oh one by one line up and Billy Bigelow hits you. And
John,
then and
no.
then you get to ask, does a kiss feel the same? Whatever.
Stop it.
Oh no! That I could go on another pedestal about that line because people misremember that line. To this
I
day.
Always misremember.
Well, because everybody remembers the movie where Shirley Jones like has her face pressed against the daughter. She's like, a kiss is the same thing as being hit. And like the actual show says something very different. It's like not the greatest writing, but the meaning behind it is very different.
What do they say though? You have to finish this.
Oh my God! No. Well, so it's Oscar Hammerstein trying to be poetic and kind of failing at it is all. Because when Louise says that he hit her. But if she didn't feel anything, she means it literally because he's a fucking ghost.
Mm-hmm.
She says it's like he kissed my hand because originally he hits her hand. And everyone's like, oh, like the hit felt like a kiss. Like, no, she literally is saying it because like a ghost fucking went through her body. Like it's Oscar Hammerstein trying to be poetic about it. And when Julie says like she doesn't say that his hit felt like a kiss. She goes, it's possible for someone to hit you and not hurt. She's not being like, oh, super romantic about it. It's like battered wife syndrome where it's sort of like channeling out all the pain and the regret and thinking about the one thing
so
that,
heavy
right
heavy.
Well no but it's so like and that's what the show is but in the movie got Shirley Jones like in a lassie pose with a violin section going yeah. la 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 and everybody remembers that anyway so that's my soapbox so back to Bridges.
Easy transition back to Bridges.
No we go on tangents here it's fine.
Fine
we got called out for it on our iTunes review. We haven't had a...
Why not? I'm sorry. If I'm listening to something, like, I want to go down, like, those brainworm trains.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I've never heard the term brainworm, but I love it.
I love
Wait,
it,
Wait, you've never heard brainworm?
No.
I just originated brainworm train. But brainworm is a thing.
The BW train? Nope, that's not it.
Oh, wait, no. I'm sorry. Brainworm is not a thing. It's earworm.
Oh, my God. That's why I was like, brainworm?
Billy, I'd like to differ with you.
How do you mean?
You're the top.
Yeah.
The top.
Did you get any cool presents from fans from Bridges? Anyone like send you anything?
No.
No?
That's not true. When I saw it, I bought you a half dozen Krispy Kreme.
Oh, that. What? Yeah, but I didn't like. I ate them right then and there. So like.
You're welcome.
More general note: have you gotten presents from fans before?
No.
Really?
Wait, really?
I would get like general ones. Like I got the occasional like letter.
Oh, okay.
That's nice.
But it was always like some fan sent the cast these, you know? It was never like an individual.
But also, I feel like fans in the last, even like 2 to 3 years.
It's
up so much because of Instagram, because of that wall has really gone down now.
Like, I was Instagramming like crazy during Bridges, so like they have no excuse.
Well, I wasn't on Instagram, so I had no idea.
I do remember Kelly talking about social media when she got, so there was like a big piece in the Times when the nominations came out, and it was Kelly, Sutton, Adina, Jesse Mueller, and then Mary Bond Davies, or her name was,
yeah,
which, it was actually,
and then with Janice.
Yeah, it was a very funny interview because there was a moment where they all kind of just turned to her and like, so we're not familiar with your work, so please excuse us as we like gab about each other's shows. So they talked about social media because Kelly was saying how when Bridges opened, the PR team was like, we really need you to start a Twitter account.
Oof.
And she was like, fine. And she like would tweet like, and they're like, and tweet something every day. And every day it would just be like, see Bridges. And they're like, can you tweet something about like a sandwich you ate or something? And she's like, no, fuck you.
Really though.
This is my Bridges sandwich.
What's that kid's name? Finn, who's on Stranger Things?
Finn Wittrock.
Yeah, the whole like shenanigans that's happening right now because he like apparently dissed fans walking into a hotel and there's like, been a bunch of clapback. Oh, that's like, wait, it's no, not our job.
No, not Finn. Finn Wittrock is, whatever his name is, was on American Horror Story.
His name Finn?
I thought his name was Finn.
I think it's Finn.
I
thought Finn Wittrock, but it's, I think this kid's name is Finn.
I'm not actually completely sure.
Anyway, cute kid in the Strange, they're all cute.
Yeah, he's also in It as well. I know you're talking
about. Oh, yes, I have heard about this.
But yeah, he like walked by some fans going into a hotel and the fans were like, so rude. It's like, no, he's not being rude.
He's a child. Like a child.
Also, even if it was an adult, it's not part of their job.
No.
Like doing eight shows a week and then having to also, because it is a show, mm-hmm. you know, it like going out and signing things, you are still putting on an act,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's hard and it's tiring, especially if you're like in a hit show and you are famous, like mm-hmm. that requires a lot of work. And if you've mm-hmm. done eight shows and you just want to go home to like have to do that for another hour out of your night, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It is. I mean, it's a double-edged sword because I do remember being young in stage during back when I was young, it wasn't as huge a deal when I was young. Like, people only really had big crowds for someone super famous.
Yes.
Like, I remember Vanessa Williams drew a lot of people at Into the Woods, and as soon as she left, everybody left.
Yeah.
So I got, like, Laura Benanti. I got all the other people after that. But, I don't know, it just felt like, because there were so fewer people and we weren't so demanding of it, like, all we really wanted was just, like, 10 seconds and to leave. But now, because, as John said, Instagram, Twitter, the wall is down. Everyone's like, oh, we're friends now. I know you. I know that you did this today.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, it's wonderful to have that, to feel so close to the actors that you love. But at the same time, it's like, they are still doing a job.
Yeah.
Correct.
So after Bridges came Le Prom. Tell us about Le Prom, because that's another out-of-town situation with another prominent director.
Le Prom is
It is just called The Prom, you guys.
No,
let's calm down.
I'm cutting that shit out. I'm calling it Le Prom from now on.
Le Prom. It is a project near and dear to my heart. I love that show so much. Again, another really boring actor with an agent, like, thing.
I just find your struggle so endearing.
But here's the thing. If you go and read any of the breakdowns for the role that you're playing, like, it's you.
I know.
Like it's just her.
So you got involved with it from like the get-go?
Casual get-go. They had been writing it for a while before I was involved and had done like one other reading previously, but it was very informal. And so I got an audition for this untitled new musical. I actually went in for a separate role originally. And I went in, I auditioned for that, and as I was leaving, Casey Nicholaw, the director, was like, hang on, you're actually a better fit for the other role. Will you go and learn this side and come back in for us? And I was like, yeah, totally. So I went into the hallway, learned that side, came back in, did it, and then the next day I found out that I booked that role. And so we did. So hard.
Oh my gosh.
It is a struggle. My life is difficult. I promise. I've been to 1,000 auditions and haven't gotten a single call back in the last 6 months, so it's fine.
One of my least favorite stories is Emily Skeggs, how she booked Fun Home, was they needed a, like, super last minute understudy for Medium Allison and Joan at the Public, because Alex's social was having some issues. And because they needed it so fast, she like went in to audition on a Wednesday, was told, like, the following morning she booked it and went into rehearsals the day after that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hate
And honestly, you. Like, that is slow for some things. Like, there mm-hmm. have been times when it's like, they're rehearsing now, you got it, go
there.
Right this moment. Yeah. But yeah, so I booked, at that point it was just for a 29-hour reading. And we did that, and it was, like, super fun, and, like...
This because the composers and writers are, it's the Elf and Wedding Singer team,
it's
correct?
Elf, Wedding Singer, and, Dirty...
Oh, Dirty Rotten... Dirty
no, Jersey Chaperone.
Chaperone.
Dirty Rotten Chaperone.
Dirty Rotten Chaperone.
That's my memoir. Dirty Rotten Chaperone.
Dirty Rotten Chaperone. Yeah, Drowsy Chaperone.
Well, and actually, for those who don't know what the show is about, do you mind just giving the little, like, elevator pitch of what it's about?
The elevator pitch. It's essentially about these veteran Broadway performers who have decided that they want to do something better with their lives. And they find this news article about this teenage lesbian who wanted to take her girlfriend to prom, and the school said no. And so they decide to go and save the day, and shenanigans ensue, and it's heartfelt, it's funny, there's a message, and it's just... goddamn good.
You lost me at message.
I actually haven't even told you this. I just did a reading with three of the leads of Prom with Beth Level, Chris Siebert, and I can never say his last name, but Brooks.
Ashmascus.
Ashmascus.
He's God, I'm obsessed with
him. Yeah, I mean, loveliest people.
I love them all so much. They're so... funny.
Yes.
Like, oh, God.
Yes.
Geniuses.
They're geniuses. And they keep working together. Like, people, like, don't want to separate the three of them. Because Chris and Beth are about to do,
Annie. They're doing Annie together.
Yeah, which is brilliant.
I cannot. Chris has to shave his head, and I cannot wait.
Wait, they are really making him do that. I wasn't sure if they were going to make him do that or wear a bald cap.
He's really becoming a daddy now. Oh. He was my first Broadway crush, actually.
He was my first daddy crush.
He has never been a crush of mine, but there is a picture from 2009 when he was in Shrek where I stage doored him, and I have a picture of him and, like, my best friend, like, stage dooring and being like...
One of my favorite pictures is when Jonathan Groff stage doored Thoroughly Modern Millie and Tim and Sutton Foster together. Oh, it's a great... It's like, it gives us all hope.
I love that shit.
I tried to be really cool at the end of the reading after we finished, and I went up to Chris to shake his hand, and I was like so nervous because the whole week I've been trying to play it, like, really cool. Or not the whole week, but it was only a few days. But that whole, like, hour, I was trying to keep it really cool. No, and literally, I go to shake his hand, and he slaps away. He's like, no, give me some sugar. And I was like, aww. I was like, daddy dreams. Daddy dreams.
Oh, God. That crack is really...
It's nice. A yodel.
Soothing.
Daddy dreams.
Him and... Into the Woods, like, as Rapunzel's prince, I was like, okay, who is this sandy-haired gentleman?
He's done 1,000 Broadway shows.
Yes. But I know him from the Mary-Kate and Ashley TV show that he was in.
Like, that's how everyone knows him. I did not know that existed until, like, 6 years ago. And then my thirst came back when I got the Triumph of Love cast album a couple years ago.
And it's awesome. That is
great. But, like, the pictures of him, he's, like, a fucking Disney
Anytime
prince.
Anytime he does, like, Broadway Bears, people are like, damn.
Damn, yeah.
Damn. Just like when we do Broadway Bears. Right?
People want to see this bod.
People are always knocking down these doors to see. Yeah. No, I mean...
Paying the money to see me.
Honestly, if you've ever wondered what it's like being in a room with two just... sexual, sexy beings, you should see Caitlin and I with just, like, a donut ice cream sandwich going whole hog, which is something we've done so many times.
Whole hog.
Going whole hog.
And on that note, I would like to go to another whole hog. Pregnancy Pact, the musical.
You've been so patient.
I've been so patient. I waited, and now I'm attacked.
It's great. I love the show.
So,
also, the cast was amazing,
too. It was
too.
Incredible.
Okay, set the scene for the people at home, please.
It was me, Margot Seibert, and Katrina Rose Diedrichsen, Lauren Marcus, Christina Alabado, and Dana Steingold. I think that was all of us. And Jed Resnick was our one single man.
Where was this at?
Oh, God, I feel like I'm forgetting someone, and that's so rude of me.
I mean, she's a diva.
I don't know.
Where was this at?
It was at Weston Playhouse, and it was so good.
And it's based on the Lifetime movie of the same name, correct?
No.
God damn it.
I mean, like...
It's the same premise.
Because right?
It's based on a true story.
Girls who all decided to get pregnant at the same... And when I say girls, I mean
like
girls.
High school girls. Like, they were like sophomores. Yeah, sophomores in high school.
Who decided...
I just tried to exit the scene so nonchalantly because my computer's about to die and I have to grab the cord and literally the first thing I do is knock over a metal container.
It should be noted, everyone. So two episodes ago, John and I were drinking alcohol. We are not drinking alcohol today.
It's coffee, guys.
It's coffee and a week-old Halloween candy. So,
I had so much of it.
So literally, 16-year-old girls decided to get pregnant.
Decided to all get pregnant at the same time so their babies could grow up together. Pregnancy packed.
Yeah.
And they
the name does not lie.
It does not. And so they decided to make a musical about it, and it is fascinating. Yeah. The music is so good. It's Gordon Leary and Julia Meinwald who wrote it. They're geniuses. I love everything they do. They just wrote this incredible musical about that, and it's so stupid because people, like, I don't know, when you're like, let's write a musical, your last idea is about pregnant teenagers, and I thought it worked. Okay. And I loved it. I thought it worked so well, and it was so fun to be in.
Sometimes, like, the greatest musicals come from the weirdest ideas.
Right?
Like, think about any of your favorite musicals and try to, like sell them in the worst possible way. It's so easy. Like, there's... Pitching Hamilton as, like, a rap musical 3 years ago, you'd been like, what the fuck are you smoking?
Really, though.
Yeah, or, like, I want to turn The Color Purple, where the lead ages 40 years and constantly gets raped and beaten, into a 2.5-hour musical marathon.
Woo!
Woo!
That's gone.
I would take The Wizard of Oz and make it gayer. Actually... That is fantastic, so that's why Wicked works.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, I thought you were going with The Wiz for a second.
No.
The Wizard of Oz is actually gayer than... The Wiz is actually gayer than Wicked, in my personal opinion. I mean, the belting is just as real, and, like, I don't know, the costumes and
yeah, but no one is painted green. I mean, well, yeah.
No. Eveline. In the original production, Eveline had, like, hot dogs all over her costume.
Oh my God,
that's pretty fucking gay.
That's pretty gay.
Incredible.
Wait, what?
The original Broadway production.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Okay, so John and I exchange weird YouTube videos
all
the time
to
each other. Did we ever share, and I don't remember if it was you or if I just like came across this video, like the original production advertising campaign and the videos they put out? They're insane.
No, for The Wiz? You never showed me this.
First of all, yeah, the design for the original production of The Wiz is absolutely mind-boggling.
When
brilliant.
We're done with this, Google. Engine search.
The Wiz.
Advert.
Like, I think like Broadway commercial, yeah. The one where like the dog jumps off into the little boy's arms. Yeah.
What? And there's just like one like old man in the audience. Yeah. It's like.
Like, I guess it's like, right. They're showing you videos, they're showing you clips of the show as well as like audience reactions, but it's so clearly staged. It's like glamour shots essentially, and people are like looking over their shoulders going, huh? What? And then the dog, Toto, jumps off the stage into this little boy's arms, and he's just like, ah, it's real magic. Makes no sense.
A world full of love, light up like.
Have you ever come across a bootleg of one of your shows?
Yep.
How was that? I mean... It's okay. You don't want, if you don't want to talk about it, we don't have to talk about it. We can always edit this out.
I've actually come across bootlegs of a few shows I've been in, and most of them are just so bad. Like, you can't get really a good quality bootleg.
Yeah. But isn't it, like, interesting to think, like, oh, like, someone was sitting in this audience filming me, like...
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
Preserving my performance forever.
It always just makes me self-conscious, because I'm like, oh, I'm terrible.
Oh, stop.
Like, that's where my mind goes.
She is not terrible.
No, you've got the guilty ones for him to tell you that.
Yeah, I do. I can go... It's
homeschooled?
Yeah, no.
This is going to be interesting.
I can go back and just read all the shit they said.
I kind of want to look up the guilty ones to see.
Yeah.
Oh, also, wait, just really quickly. Along with the guilty ones, at that time on Broadway, there was a wonderful... like live journal post secret mashup called Broadway Secrets.
I remember this.
Yeah.
Oh, John,
you do. I have no idea what this is.
People could write in their Broadway secrets, And it would be like stupid things like, oh, this person is good or well, bad
so
or whatever.
It originally started for people who actually had like Scoop.
Yes.
Because it was completely anonymous and basically you know those that thing on Facebook now where you can like write a status
of,
or what you know like where like you like write your opinion like in a little box and it's like colorful and whatnot. So yeah. Rather than have it, it was like that essentially.
Yeah.
And so like I think Broadway Secrets was the first place that people found out about the Christian Borle Sutton yes, Foster that separation. Is true. That's like what made it really blow up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember where I was when I found that out. But so like, but then it eventually evolved into.
Yes.
Tweens in like Austin, Texas or wherever complaining about everyone they've so it'd be like a picture of Laura Bell Bundy and being like fucking hate her she yeah, can't sing mean. Anymore
it was
like,
a burn
it became a burn book. Book yeah
and like occasionally there would be like actual secrets but yeah. Anyway point of the story guilty ones Broadway Secrets my claim to fame is a Broadway Secret post about me that was like a picture of me as Taya mm-hmm. and it said I don't know what came out of her mouth, but it wasn't singing.
What?
Oh yeah. My god!
So, like, they loved me.
That's so ridiculous.
Right?
No, people are fucking vicious.
People are mean. If they yeah. are behind a computer screen, they
yes.
are.
And they, if they, that can, is be, very if they true. Can be anonymous, absolutely. You know? It's like, come to a Broadway theater and say that to my face.
Right? Oh, some of them did, though, so it's fine.
What? Seriously?
Well, yes. Gosh. I got so many comments about, like, line readings, and I'd be like, okay.
Side note, we'll wrap this up in a quick second, but speaking of Drag Race. My brain goes in very weird directions.
It's fine.
But so, this will make sense to John. Katya and Trixie were on a YouTube, so two contestants of Drag Race that are about to have their own talk show. They were on this YouTube web series called Hey Queen. That's like, it's sort of like a spinoff of Drag Race. Like all the Drag Race contestants go on it. It's supposed to be sort of where they all let their hair down. And Trixie and Katya talked about how like they really hate how fans will come up to them and think that a way of bonding is by like shit talking another contestant. So like they would come, like they will see them on the street and be like, oh my God, Roxy Andrews, am I right? And they're like, I actually very much enjoy Roxy. So like, right? Please don't say that. And I feel like fans will sometimes do that at the stage show too. They'll be like, it's like, I mean, we both know that that cast member of yours is a real bitch, right? It's
right?
Like,
you can't do that.
No.
That's like overstepping so many
boundaries. But it's also, it goes back to that same mentality in high school where how bullies basically became made of, you never want to be perceived as weak. So you have to attack others. And if you want to be out of a bully's, frame, you got to start attacking other people as well. And
which is exactly how I find a mate.
Billy, I beg to differ with you.
How do you mean?
You're the top.
Yeah.
You're an arrow collar. You're the top.
Listen, I just want to say, I want to thank this little lady, this beautiful flower next to me.
Thank you.
For being here with us today. She is an amazing person. Artist.
I feel like no one will get that after this.
Yes,
philanthropist.
She is a philanthropist. She is.
I am. Wait, when will this episode come out?
Probably next Tuesday.
Yeah.
I am a philanthropist.
What are you doing?
One thing you don't know about me is I have type 1 diabetes.
Oh, yeah.
And
it
is National Diabetes Awareness Month. I'm using your podcast to promote
things. Yes, please
things.
Do.
So take a minute. Go look up some facts about diabetes because a lot of people know nothing about it. Mm. I didn't get this from eating donuts. But check out jdrf.org and check out the American Diabetes Association and think about donating to help research this.
Let's do it.
Did we just start a podcast for good? Oh my God. What is this feeling so
she
sudden and new?
She changed it.
She changed the game.
Thank you so much for doing that too, because I love supporting you and your diabetes.
Thanks.
I love your choice to have diabetes.
It's a choice. Yeah.
I'm a very informed friend. No,
he really is.
I literally did feed her donuts as soon as she walked in.
They're right here.
Yeah, that's the sound.
That's how we get them.
But seriously, Caitlin, thank you so much for being here with us
of
today.
Course.
You are a strong female in theater, and
that's really kind.
I salute you, and I want to.
You
I
make
want
a
everyone.
Difference.
Well, oh my gosh, she's only saying that because I'm drinking from a cup that says that, but she does. She makes a difference.
Nah.
And so I can't wait to see what's next.
Oh my God, I can't wait to see it either.
The subtlety of their wit is so strong.
I wasn't being subtle or witty, which is witty. Rare for me.
Pinky up on what, that cup.
Wettlety. Subtle witchiness? I don't know.
This is devolving so quickly.
Oh my god. It's been a great episode.
Oh my god. We are going to... I'm going to have a fun time editing this.
You are going to have a fun time.
Oh my god, and it'll be great.
We normally end an episode by having a diva play us out. So do you want to pick a Broadway diva?
It can't be one that we've already had, and we're not going to tell you who we've already had. Yeah.
But I want to see who you want us to play.
Yeah, who naturally comes to mind.
Wait, oh shit. Oh god. There are so many options. I'm trying to think of like things that I really like to listen to when I was like 16 and learning how to like sing.
Or be on Broadway.
Or be on Broadway. 16 on Broadway. But like, can you just play Kate Schindel's Legally Blonde?
We haven't had her yet.
Just the mega mix.
Yeah. Totally. At the very end. Absolutely.
That's so brilliant. I can't believe we haven't done that yet.
The nine episodes we've had some really wonderful divas, very diverse. But like, yeah, we haven't had our president of equity, Kate Schindel, yet. So we need to. Her voice is stupid.
Can we talk about her new haircut? Because she's on the Fun Home tour.
I know. I love it.
She is a queen. She literally is a queen. She's Miss America.
She's the fucking
Miss America. Okay,
ladies and gentlemen.
So let's start to
wrap this up. Madam President.
Okay. So as a final sign off, this has been Broadway Breakdown. I am Matt Koblick.
I am John Miscavige.
I'm Caitlin Kinnunen.
And this is our President of Equity, Kate Schindel. Kate, wail us out, please.
Oh, okay. What an easy transition out that was.
Bye.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.